it was at that point where I realized I was no longer chasing gold stars, as you refer to them, as that sense of I am doing things because they're directly and aligned with my purpose. And I'm not worried about that next thing and that next thing and that next thing to get the gold stars, and that I can have a better level of choice about the things that I spend my time on and uplift opportunities for other folks who may be in my space as well.
Hello, you are listening to Your Unapologetic Career. Being a woman of color faculty in academic medicine who wants to make a real difference with your career can be tough. Listen, these systems are not built for us, but that doesn't mean we can't make them work for us. In each episode, I'll be taking a deep dive into one core growth strategy so you can gain confidence and effectiveness in pursuing the dream career you worked so hard to achieve. All you have to do is tune in to Your Unapologetic Career with me, your host, Kemi Dole, physician, surgeon, researcher, coach, and career strategist, for an always authentic, sometimes a little raw, but unapologetically empowering word. I keep it real for you because I want you to win. Hello. So I get so many questions along the lines of, how can I work with you? You're changing my life and I want more of this. And if you fall into that category and you are a woman of color, faculty member in academic medicine, public health, or allied fields, then just keep listening. Listen, are you building the academic career you want or hard at work checking boxes on everyone else's to-do list? A successful career doing the work you love doesn't mean you have to sacrifice your values, your family, or your joy. Stop trying to be everything to everybody and get to learning the strategies that will 3x your productivity, hone your passions into funded projects, and create the career you worked so hard to achieve. If you've been to every career development and professional development workshop that sounded great, but didn't actually deal with the kind of institutional pressures you face. If you're working hard, but somehow stuck in inefficiency, putting everyone else's priorities first. If you spent years training and sacrificing to become academic faculty, and here you are still working nights and weekends on the projects you care most about, I'm here to tell you that you can walk away from this institutional mindset forever and take control of your career with clarity and strategy. Every day, I help women of color faculty of all career levels in academic medicine, like you, reframe and recreate their academic life so that they can channel their ideas, passions, and skills into grant-funded work with institutional support and sustainability. And that is why this episode is brought to you by Get That Grant, our six-month high-performance coaching program for high-achieving women of color faculty in academic medicine who are ready to reclaim career control and secure grant funding doing the work they love. In Get That Grant, we help you kick imposter syndrome to the curb for good, so you lead your career with clarity and confidence. You learn productivity and strategy skills for grants and papers to maximize your chances of success without wasting your time, abandoning your passion, or working yourself into the ground. We help you build the foundation for an amazing and fulfilling academic career, changing your life and the lives of everyone your work will touch. Yes, this future is possible for you, and it's waiting on you to make the first step. If you are ready for career success without sacrifice, I encourage you to join our waitlist at kemidole.com/grant. After you join the waitlist, you'll be notified when the next Get That Grant cohort will be enrolling. Your application process will include an in-depth career foundations assessment, helping you identify the gaps in your foundation that are holding you back from enjoying the career you worked so hard to achieve. No more secret worrying that the career you want isn't really possible. This career assessment will show you exactly where you need to focus to level up your experience and your impact. Join the waitlist today to get in line. Visit kemidole.com/grant to sign up. Talk to you soon.
Okay. All right, Maya, hello and welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you on today.
I'm great to be here, Kimmy.
Oh my gosh. This is a full circle moment for me. So before I let you tell people who you are, what happened was way back in the day, y'all, and sometime in like April or May 2019, I had this very strange idea to start doing coaching services for women of color in academia. And I was doing all these informational interviews. I was like, I know it's in my head, but I want to get out of my head and talk to what's happening for people. And specifically, I said, I want to talk to very successful Black women in this space, because I know what that's like. And I know that there were still a lot of challenges I had. And you, Maya, were one of the people that I reached out to, because I knew you were this amazing rock star, still a PhD student, but like absolutely incredible. And I was like, I got to get her insight. And you were so gracious with your time, which I really appreciate. And I remember just talking to you about like what my ideas were and how was I thinking about supporting people. And you were just like, this sounds great. You should keep going. And so this feels like a full circle moment. So I just had to get that out. But thank you. It was very exciting. Okay. So now, I mean, I know you, but people don't know you. So tell us a little bit, Maya, about like your background training, your area of expertise, and what good work you're doing in the world.
Sure. So thanks, Kimmy, and for opening with that full circle moment. So I am a social epidemiologist and health services researcher, an assistant professor of health policy, an associate editor of diversity, equity, and inclusion at JAMA Dermatology, and a board member, a trustee at Brown University. I'm pretty great.
Just dropping the titles. Continue dropping the titles.
And the good that I am trying to do in the world is bridging community and patient engagement with big data, using my expertise as an epidemiologist to improve cancer care outcomes, specifically for Black folks in the U.S. South. So that is the orientation that grounds my work. I really am deeply rooted in critical race theory and thinking about how structural racism and other structural systems of oppression reinforce cancer health inequities and what we can do on a policy level, particularly in engaging with communities and patients to really remove these structural barriers that go on to manifest and continue cancer inequities.
Mm. It's like just the same way that your titles bridge so many domains. You know what I mean? You're like, I'm trained in this. I do a little bit of this. I'm the editorial board of this. P.S. I'm on the board of trustees. Like your chosen area of impact does the same thing, from the community to the big data to the policy. I just see that paralleled, and it's powerful. It's really powerful. Thank you, Maya. Yeah. So we're curious, because you know, you're on the board of trustees of a major institution. So like, I mean, that's extraordinarily rare. And I'm not trying to just highlight that as one thing, but when I say, like, when I'm emphasizing something like that, it's not about the thing. It's about, to me, what it represents. What that represents to me is somebody who is unusually gifted and clear about where they are going and what they want to do. Because to be able to show up in a space like being on the board of trustees, like being an associate editor at a major, major journal, very, very early in your career, to be in those places and be functional, means that you have a level of self-possession about what I am and what I'm here to do, which is fantastic. So I am very curious, given the fact that that's true, where were you in your career? What was going on for you that you started to consider looking for different kinds or coaching support? And like, what wasn't working for you, even when those things were working for you?
Sure. So as you had opened, Kimmy, I was in at the ground level. I knew when you had done those informational interviews with me that I was keeping my eye on this, and this is something that I wanted to do. And, you know, I had earlier coaching experience prior to get that grant as part of my fellowship award during my PhD program with Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. I was paired with a leadership coach who was phenomenal. And part of the reason why I became so confident and sure in my purpose is because of that coaching I had received as a trainee. And so for me, I felt it was very seamless to then move into get that grant. And what I felt that I was missing was that execution, was that strategy that I knew that get that grant could help me with. And so I have no shortage of big ideas or confidence in myself, honestly, but I would have these big ideas and feel like I was kind of bumbling along to get there. I was not moving in any particular way to accomplish these goals. And I knew with the emphasis in Get That Grant was on execution, was on strategy, was on discernment to be able to achieve those goals in a feasible way that worked out both personally and professionally.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yes, I got you. I got you. I'm just going to move right along. You said it all. That was excellent. Was your leadership coaching experience one-on-one? Am I right about that?
It was a mix of one-on-one and group coaching.
Oh, actually. Okay. So you
similarly,
had that experience.
We had like a little cohort of folks and we became really great personal and professional friends. We attended each other's weddings and whatnot. And then we also collaborated with each other. And so it was this very affirming space where we all developed into our purpose, the good that we want to do in the world, as you had noted. But it wasn't focused on academic medicine or public health. It was a bit broader than that. We included folks from fields in the humanities and social sciences more broadly. And so, again, really circling back to that execution piece about the nitty gritty of academic medicine and public health and what do I need to do and to get that support to take my goals forward in this specific space that I'm in.
Yes, I got you. Yes. So you, I was going to ask you about the one-on-one to group, but you had already experienced what I talk about a lot because it really is kind of antithesis to, I think, a lot of the individualistic, like genius science and an ivory tower nonsense that they try to indoctrinate us into, which is this idea of how much you can grow in a group, like how group growth can be exponential. And we're so used to having to do it alone that it can be even hard as a concept to believe in. But so you came in on the train. You were like, I'm ready. So why don't you share with us like a moment or more than one moment in Get That Grant where something really shifted for you in a big way, since you came in pretty clearly knowing that you were looking for that execution piece, that strategy piece.
Sure. And I was reflecting on this question and it was I'd like to give a recent example where this really, like within the last couple of weeks, I really felt this pretty acutely in that recently I had started feeling overwhelmed again, which was part of what brought me into Get That in the first place. I think is the case for many of us, being able to manage those feelings of overwhelm. And then I stopped and paused and realized that the reasons why I was overwhelmed now were very different than the reasons why I was overwhelmed before I started to get that grant in the beginning of the program. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I was overwhelmed because I found out on vacation that my grants had gotten funded. I was getting podium presentations and invited talks, and all of that work that I had put in was coming to fruition and how people saw me, how I grew in my power and in my confidence. And I was being asked to do so many things that were directly in service and alignment with my purpose. Mm-hmm. And that is a very different space of overwhelm than where I started really interrogating how I was spending my time and realizing like, ooh, I'm doing a lot of things I don't really want to be doing that are not in service of my broader goals. And that was a really big moment for me because I feel like Get That Grant doesn't promise some kind of like miracle cure for our careers. So
pause right there. Listen to what the woman said. Okay. This is not about miracle cure because miracle implies that you don't have to do anything. Exactly. Miracle implies immaculate conception. All of a sudden it's just there and you're going to work. All right, continue.
Yep. And so you've never promised us that we'll never experience overwhelm again. Like that is just not part of this, which is a good thing, as you had noted. But going through that process and auditing kind of why I was experiencing this overwhelm was really grounding, honestly. And I was moving in a very different space than when I had previously. And that was such a big shift for me, that this overwhelm that I was experiencing, like while I wanted to manage it, it wasn't necessarily a bad thing because it's great to be overwhelmed because all of the things that you had worked for and hoped for and were really manifesting had come to fruition at a faster pace than you had thought possible.
Exactly.
And so that was a major, major shift for me that I experienced and I really felt grounded by recently.
Yes. So it's so true. It's so funny. It's like, as you grow professionally, you develop yourself, you develop these skills. Like you say, you develop these strategies. So you start with, there's way too much I'm doing that doesn't make any sense. You go through the process to actually cut those things away, right? You actually go through the process of not only pruning, but you're also seeding potential is, I think, what we're kind of doing. We're doing those things at the same time. Get rid of this stuff, but double down on these things. it's true that what happens is that works. That's the thing, is it's actually, the process actually works. So now you've got more opportunities that all aligned. And like you said, now you're in a different kind of challenge where it's like, oh, wow, there's a lot to do and I love it all. But the beauty of that challenge is that it then starts to fix another issue, which is this feeling of like, oh, I'm going to miss out on things, or like, oh, I have to go after ABC. Because once you get to that place where you're like, I'm overwhelmed just with things that align with my purpose, now you start to realize, oh, I'm really fine. Actually, I can really skip out on this. Like, it really is true that like the scarcity myth is really a myth, and there are always going to be enough things out there for me. And so that seeds better decision-making as well as you go forward. So I think it's like part of it is perspective, right? And it's like that realization that, oh, this is the same feeling. It's coming from a different place. Not only does that mean I've grown, but that's another new lesson for me for the next one. Okay, so now if I know the podiums are going to come, I know the papers are going to come, I know the grants are going to come, now I can choose. Oh, it's actually these three that I'm doing this year. And that gives us another layer of like peace and ownership over our career, which is what I want everybody to get to that place of that feeling. So thank you for sharing. I love
it. Yeah. And just to expand on that point, Kemi, I think it was kind of implicitly, but to make explicit, it was at that point where I realized I was no longer chasing gold stars, as you refer to them, as that sense of I am doing things because they're directly and aligned with my purpose. And I'm not worried about that next thing and that next thing and that next thing to get the gold stars, and that I can have a better level of choice about the things that I spend my time on, and uplift opportunities for other folks who may be in my space as well. And I'm lifting us all up, or at least trying to.
It creates that cascade, because you're like, listen, now I have an abundance of great opportunities. Because, you know, it feels terrible to push bad opportunities onto people, you know, and a lot of us are early on, you know, you get saddled with these things you don't want to do, but part of the reason you don't want to do them is because they're not good opportunities. Maybe they're not well thought out. Maybe they're kind of exploitative, right? They're like all these things where you're like, I don't want to do this, but honestly, I don't want anybody to do this. This wasn't thought out. So when you go through that process of one, getting rid of those things, I think it's almost like evolutionarily, it's good. Like they shouldn't survive. Like we can't find anybody to do this. Great. Retool it. Maybe that's why. So you do that, you increase the opportunities that are better quality. Now you have too many of them. Now you're passing on great opportunities to people. So it's like, to me, that's part of the multiplicative nature of the impact of what we do in this program and what we do and get that grant. Is like, it's not about just the people in the room. And I love that, because I think when we can all access, I think we all want to help everybody, but the environments tell us you don't have time to do that. You don't have time to help anybody. You got to worry about yourself. You got to go out, like you said, right? Scarcity mindset. But when you can disprove that through your own experience, then you get to tap back into that default place you had all along, which is that I would like to help people. I don't want to be out here alone. I want to bring up people up with me. So that's what I hear you saying. And I mean, Maya, gosh, your career just started. Like the impact of somebody like that who knows that now, who's as brilliant as you are, who knows how to execute, who has all of the things, you zoom out that in a 10, 20, 30 year career. And I'm like, my work is done. I'm done. Like I quit. Like, great. This is what we can do. And this is why I will like never stop being so passionate about this work and the specificity of what we created, like not just the strategies, but the community and like what that does for everybody. So I don't know. That's my reflection on what you said. What would you say that you have now that you didn't have before embarking on coaching, or if there's like kind of maybe an aspect we haven't touched on?
Sure. So I now have the courage to pursue the career that I want, that I never realized was even possible prior to embarking on coaching, even if that means creating something that I quite haven't seen before in somebody else. Yeah. I know that that's such a big piece of the Get That Grant program, is to just go out there and create what you are looking for. Yes. And GTG allowed me to really dig deep and find that courage to figure out for myself, what is it that I am seeking to be able to pursue these goals, to be able to improve cancer care outcomes for Black folks in the South. And I couldn't have gotten that anywhere else, truly. And the way that you talk about courage and really uplift that as a quality has really made a tremendous impact on my career so early on.
Yeah. I got a little chills there. Okay. So two things. Yeah. So one, I think we're incredibly courageous for being in this field at all. But what's happened is that the evidence of our courage has been redefined as something else. And I think a lot of what I'm doing is that awareness piece of, no, you're very courageous. Like, look where you are. Most people would not be here, like would not be choosing this way. And you chose something that's like, basically you, it's a constant bet on yourself. I think I got a good idea. Let me go after it. Like, that's a very courageous pathway. So that's one thing is like, I want to honor the courage that I see in women of color and especially underrepresented Black women, Latinx women, Indigenous women in these spaces that we're in. Cause we're courageous just showing up. And then talkless of saying, okay, now I'm here and I'm going to do something different than what y'all have done. I think what it is that when it shifts from I'm isolated, nobody gets me, nobody really gets what I want to do. So I have to just do it kind of in the corner quietly, right? Like I can't draw that much attention. I have to try to highlight all the ways I am like the rest of you and all of this to protect this little piece of thing that I want to do. When you're in that space, you're so closed down. It's very difficult actually to figure out how to be strategic and execute because all of your energy is like defensive, right? It's in this protection mode because you're trying to protect the thing that you care about most, but you also can't really work with it that well. Whereas when you've redefined being in that position as being courageous AF, just out here behind enemy lines, crazy courageous, that one allows you to speak that truth. I'm here doing something completely differently. And then when you can do that, then you can access that strategy piece. Now it can be like, all right, so we are doing it. So what is really needed? And I think one of the things that we do and get that grant is like get a little bit deeper, like beyond the dream. Okay, what's the structure of it though? Like what are the tangible needs that you have? What are your strengths? Like all this stuff that we don't have access to that conversation when the default is that you really can't do this, but if you do it over here and don't really talk about it and make sure you have a second project that's more mainstream that you can talk about. So you never actually give your best, you know, to the work that you care about. And so I think you've really pulled that part out of it is that like in connecting to your courage, you also open up your own higher level thinking and like executive functioning and like all those things that you want to use in service of your work. Did that make sense?
Yeah, it did. Okay. I mean, also to dive in deeper to that as well, it also gave me the courage to act on my value. Yes. I had always kind of intrinsically known what I contribute to places, yeah, institutions, the spaces that I am in. As I mentioned, when we started, I came in to get that grant, not lacking in confidence, yes, in myself or my, yes, work or anything like that. But the program really took me to another level and realizing like, okay, this is what I bring in and this is what I need back.
Actually. Yes, like,
this,
okay,
is not, yes, this is not a one-way sort of scenario.
Yes.
And to really be bold in those asks as well and really be able to sort through what is serving me and what is not, and is that suitable, is I think another element of this conversation around courage that is something that I really, really got from participating in this program, from the curriculum, but also in being in community with so many other courageous women. I mean, just seeing the wins posted in the Facebook group and the sorts of things so that good. Folks are working through and the goals that they have for each other. And yeah, we are each other's hype women. I mean, how beautiful has that, yep, been? And there's no frenemy energy, as you.
Okay, no, we. I mean, it is not allowed
as well.
It's not. Yeah,
exist as our courageous selves, yep, uplifting each other, and being able to see the, I guess, the tangible reflection of that, both in myself and in my colleagues that I have engaged with in the group, has just been so beautiful to watch, mm-hmm, unfold over the last several months.
You have been a wonderful member of the community too. I just have to say, it's like, we got extroverts, introverts, and everybody in between. And I think the funny thing is I tell people we do have all those in between, but you can barely tell. You can barely, because people feel so safe. So like people who are like deeply introverted, like, don't talk to me. Don't, please leave me alone. Like they're in the group, like,
that's me.
Exactly. Like fully on. And that is, to me, that it is so satisfying because it's an example of a success. Of like, yes, we created the community that we needed, where there's safety in celebration, such that these like introvert, extrovert, all that stuff starts to break down because you're just in the place to get the things that you need to get there. And Yeah, I love that. I love that about the space. That's what makes it so powerful in so many ways. This was the other thing. The other thing I heard you talk about is like, you know, like seeing everybody's wins and like cheering everybody on. And it's the other piece that helps support that shift in mindset of like, there really is enough. There's enough for everybody. It really, like, you really do not have to engage in this like frenemy fighting. There can only be one. It really isn't true. And when you keep seeing people like, oh, I kind of want to do this, this and that. And then they come back, they're like, I did it. You're like, wait, you know, I went after this. It went well. I had a high stakes conversation. I came out of it on the other side. I just got 50% of the raise I asked for. Okay. Like, we're making progress here. Like when you see that enough, then you start realizing, well, if she can do it, I can do it. It isn't about the one mechanism or this one thing that only one person is going to get. And we need more of that because that's actually true, but we're all stuck in this idea that it's not. So I think that's where, that's another thing people get from the community is that believing actually in that idea that there really is enough to go around. There's more than enough to go around.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So what advice would you give a Black woman faculty who has signed up for Get That Grant, who's kind of come in and like embark on this journey based on your experience now, like what would you look back and tell that person, you know, to make sure that they get the most out of it for themselves?
Yeah. So if I could address my PhD non-clinical folks, because
yes! Shout out to the PhDs.
That you may be like me and kind of entering the program and similarly wondering like, okay, I'm not really academic medicine. Does she really mean it when she says academic medicine and public health? Mm-hmm. I don't really know what an RVU is in the abstract sense, and that doesn't apply to me. Like, am I going to get the most out of this program? Girl, yes. You absolutely will.
Yeah.
You absolutely will. Yeah. And even when conversations are around like managing clinical time and those sorts of things that we can't necessarily relate to as PhDs or non-clinicians, I promise you there is a gem in everything for everyone in some way, shape, or form. And so it really is a space for folks in academic medicine and public health. The public health is not an afterthought.
No.
And so I really think that that's important for folks, particularly the non-clinical folks who may have honestly a little bit of uncertainty about what they might be able to get out of the program. And then the second piece as well that I would say is get ready to be uncomfortable in terms of the deep dives that we do about how we spend our time, our professional relationships with people, and really interrogating those processes. That was deeply uncomfortable in the most constructive way for my career. And you really need to wade through that discomfort to get the most out of the program, because if you aren't willing to tackle those issues and things that are holding you back, quite honestly, head on, then you won't be able to get as much out of it. And so get comfortable with being uncomfortable, especially in those early formative phases.
It's really phase one's a lot. People are like, wait a minute, I just got to this. What are we doing? It's like, yes, girl, we go in there.
But you come out the other side and the beautiful things that can happen in your own career is truly revolutionary. And when you realize what you are capable of accomplishing, once you sit through that discomfort and really interrogate what is the career you want for yourself, it is so beyond worth it.
That's a sermon right there. I don't think I have anything to add except to underline, yes, the PhD folks are very welcome. You're not a second, you're not an afterthought. And just for some like storytelling, that really came out of my own experience, because so much of my research training, when I got my master's and did my research postdoc, I was with PhDs. Like I was just in the mix, seeing all the things that we were all struggling with and like all that. So it's like, there were some things that were different, but there was so much that was similar around boundaries, value, the issues with stereotype threat, like all of those things. I'm like, okay, we're all in this. And so I think that's part of what you see reflected in Get That Grant is really like experiential design, you know, is like, oh yeah, I know how this works. And so I would say the similar thing, like, though I can't get into the nitty gritty about these classes y'all got to teach to these kids. Like I can't, like, I don't, sometimes people are like, how do I deal with the undergrad questions? I'm like, girl, I'm not the one. Cause I would just be rude. Like, I would not work out for me at all. Though that is that's true. There's some limitation there. The whole idea of what we're doing is building like these professional skills that are transferable. Cause like you said, when you know how to discern how a relationship is working for you or not, when you know how to enact a boundary and then you know how to hold it, you know what it looks like when people push against it and how it looks like to hold it. Like when you start to learn those kinds of things, then they're just applicable all over. Like then you just start to, you can see how it translates. So, but thank you for pointing that out. I think it's important. Is there anything else you want to share?
Yeah, just that I'm not just saying this because I'm sitting here with you, but it is really hard to imagine what my career would have been like or could be like without Get That Grant in my life. Mm-hmm. I am one of the biggest believers, I feel like, in this program. I tell all women of color in academic medicine, public health about this program, probably so much so that they think I'm part of some like multi-level marketing scheme.
There's no MLM, right? This is not an MLM.
I just believe in it that much because of the tangible impact that I have seen, have had it seen on my career and for the careers of folks that I care about. And that is just something that I wanted to close with, that I can't wait to see the transformative impact of GTG 10 years from now when you have whole cohorts of Black women and other women of color in academic medicine and public health who have passed through. And we are all going to have such tremendous careers, and to be part of this community and to chat here with you today has been such an honor.
Oh, thank you so much, Maya. I'm so excited. It has been just an absolute joy. And I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day and take care. Y'all go find Maya. She's amazing. Go follow her on all the things. It'll be in the show notes. And yeah, we can't wait to see what you do. Take care. Bye.
Hello, I'm coming through to remind you that we are starting a listener letter segment on the Your Unapologetic Career podcast. Write in with questions that you have. You can ask me anything. I will decide what I want to answer. You can bring forth challenging situations or suggest topics you might want to hear more about. To do that, you can reach me at podcast@kdolcoach.com. That's podcast@kdolcoach.com with your questions. Please note if you'd like to be anonymous, and I will always do my best to keep you so. Excited to hear from y'all.